Okay, what a wonderful special day, which we begin a brand new Masechet, a whole new world, a whole new world. Okay, let's start at the beginning, and we'll talk about some of the simple halachas first, then we'll talk about the Seder of the Masechet. So there's a couple of words that we need to get used to before we start our Masechet. And one of those words is kinui, the other is yadot, and the other is hatpasa, and those are necessary in order for us to clearly talk about today's Mishnah. So first let's talk about hatpasa, because that really is very fundamental. Hatpasa means linkage. So if we're going to link something to something else, let's say we have an object that is osir in the Torah, but it's osir in a way that was created by my own making it osir. Where is there such a thing? Well, anything that has to do with giving something to Hekdesh, such as a cherem, which could be given to Bedek HaBayit, or a gift to Bedek HaBayit, Hekdesh to Bedek HaBayit, or a korban to the Mizbeach, those things become usher, and they become usher not because I create the isser, but because I create the fact that this thing is included in the isser that the Torah defined. So in other words, the Torah defines the status of cherem. The Torah defines the status of korban. But it requires me to say this is a korban in order for this particular object to become osur. So therefore, anything at all that I want to treat in that fashion, I can add to that. So I could say this object should be the same as a korban. So since I'm able to make something a korban, I'm able to put that status onto something which I'm saying is similar to a korban. Now that's called hatpasa. So now that we have some more people present, we can start talking about things in a more general terms, because I certainly would not have wanted to start our Masechet with this particular way of looking at it. So before we begin, let's talk about what the heck Pindorim is doing here. Because, I mean, it's very strange to be moving from Inyanim of Nashim, we were talking about Yevamos and Ksuvos, and all of a sudden we take a detour into Nedarim and Nazir. So the classic explanation is that since we mentioned in the Masechet Ketuvot Hamadir et Ishto, so Memela, we also want to discuss the Dinim of Nedarim. Pretty weak, I guess you can imagine. The Rambam extends that to pointing out that in actuality, there are two places where the Torah has a very special definition of our relation to women. One is in terms of the ideas of Yevabes and Ksuvos, which have to do with physical relations with women, and those are things that the Torah has defined first as a given in Yevabes, and then the extension of the Shaktu in Ksuvos, which defines that relationship. And then there's one other very important place that the Torah defines a relationship, Bein Ish Li'ishto, along with Bein Av Li'bito. There too, it's a primal definition of relationship with women, strangely enough. And that is the Parsha of Nedarim. It's quite amazing. And it's because of that, that since there are two ways really of defining the male-female relationship, it's not stam that we had so much discussion about Nedarim in the Ksuvos and about an Isha that has Nedarim on her and a Madar Ashishta, and at what point you get the Zechus of being able to be made for her Nedarim. But it's because Nedarim themselves are fundamental interrelationship with women as defined by the Torah. This is how the Rambam discusses it in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Now, in reality, as we spoke about yesterday, the interrelationship with women in Ksuvos was coming to address the initial interrelationship which was damaged in Gan Eden. And because of that, we have within our brachas immediately the description of Kisamecha Koyetziracha b'Gan Eden Mikedem. We talk about all of the primal relationships between the sexes as Gan Eden oriented. Now, if you take a look at that, you will discover that the power of Dibur, which is the nature of Neder, particularly in terms of Karbonis. Where do we find the Lashon of Neder in Karbonis, Kora et Hashem. Lo Hashem Kovea Ela Hagoral on Yom HaKippurim. But when you say the word of a particular type of carbon, Kor Hashem, the Gemara says, you've defined it as this carbon. Now, obviously, looking back into Gan Eden, we discover that Adam discovered his wife through Kor Hashem. Vayikra Adam Shemot. That means that language came first, and what's more, as the Gemara in Yevamos explained, it doesn't mean just language. Language and sexual intimacy are completely the same. And therefore, if Adam was Kore Shemes, so as Rashi explains, based on that Gemara in Yevamos, in order to be Kore Shemes, Kriya Shemes is an act of love. And therefore, Adam had to actually sleep with all of these animals, which is merumas in the pasuk of Ula Adam Lo Matza Ezer Kenegdo. What does that have to do with it? So in other words, finding relations with the animals as being insufficiently complementary, which is the real meaning of Kenegdo, it's insufficiently complementary to match him. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to discover the need for a physical woman through Dibur. Now, obviously, that is an incredibly profound linkage of the nature of Dibur with Isha. I mean, the entire introduction of Dibur in the Torah, which ultimately becomes Neder and lovemaking and so on, is the moment of La'adam La'matza Ezer Kenegdo. That's astonishing. So obviously, if you are Rebbe looking at patterning the structure of a Torah Shebaal Peh on the key ideas of the Torah, so you immediately see that what you need to do after describing the physical relationships with women is to describe the Dinim of Nedarim. Not coincidentally, every little yeshiva boy's favorite Masech or favorite Dapim are in Nedarim. Why? Because they talk about sexual positions. So they even, these are the ones that the Rebbe always skips, and those are the ones that the kids always know best, which we'll get to later. But what in the world are sexual positions doing in Masechet Nedarim? That's the whole point. Isn't that amazing? Unbelievable. Okay, so therefore, now that we can understand the chibur of the Masechtes to each other, let's move on to understand the nature of the Neder itself. Now, all of the Rishonim begin their discussion by pointing out that there's two different types of Nedarim, and don't get confused, our Masechet is not talking about the first type. This is very strange, okay? So we always begin with describing the two parshas of Nedarim. One is the parsha, of course, of Nidrei Hegdash. Nidrei Hegdash is where a person promises that he's going to bring something to the Bet HaKabayit, or he makes an animal a korban. And over there we have all of the mitzvahs in the Torah that we learned in Dvarim, which is the Lo Ta'acher L'Shalmo, Ki Tidor Neder, L'Hashem Elokecha. Now that has nothing to do with our Masechet, they claim, so that there's certainly no din of Bal Ta'acher. Is that true? If you make a neder to pay tzedakah, let's say by a certain date, is there no Bal Ta'acher? That we'll see. But in any event, there's an entirely different parsha of Nedarim, which is, of course, the parsha of Matot, where over there, the concept of Neder, which is introduced specifically in terms of Bein Av Lebito and Bein Ish Leishto, which is quite amazing, right? Those are the Nedarim that we're talking about over here. But now the question is, what is the relationship between those two things? Because they don't seem to be related in any way. When it comes to the nature of a Nidrei Hegdash, the Torah has created a state called Hegdash with all of the dinim of a carbon. If you have a carbon, then you're going to be male on the carbon. It's Aser Begiza Vaveda, and so on and so forth. Now, the question of what is the carbon? Okay, so that I'm defining what is the carbon, right? What does that have to do with my arbitrarily deciding that a piece of watermelon is usher? What in the world is there really a connection between those two dinim? Now, here is where the connection becomes paramount. And that is the concept that we're going to be talking about in the Masechet, and that we immediately introduce here in the Mishnah. That is the concept called hatpasa. Hatpasa means linkage. And therefore, according to the Rush, actually, which the Ran disagrees with, as we'll see, but according to Rush, the only way to make a neder is really through hatpasa, or through an assumption of hatpasa. So hatpasa means like this. If you say that that watermelon is like a carbon, so in the same way that a carbon is usur, the watermelon is usur. But you can't just arbitrarily say this watermelon is usur, because what would make it usur? Now that's a completely profound interrelationship between the two situations. Now let's clarify something else. Is it just that you're defining what the carbon is when you say that this is my carbon? No, it's not. It's that you're creating the status of the carbon, which is then defined by the Torah. Let me give you a for instance. Suppose you say that this thing, watermelon, should be the same as truma. Now, you can make something truma, which makes it truma according to a defined status that the Torah gives, which is that it's osur lezarim, and so on and so forth, right? So you would think that you could also be matfis to truma. Well, let me ask you something. Can you be matfis and say this watermelon is the same as a piece of chazer? No, you cannot. Because you can only be matpis in a davar hanadur. And since chazer is not something that you create, it's created by definition, it's absurd for you to say that the watermelon is chazer, because it isn't. So there's no hatpasa there. Now think about that middle case. Truma is a state that's defined by the Torah. So if you are saying this should be like truma, would it be the same thing as saying this should be like a carbon? And the answer is no. Why no? Because as the Rambam puts it, there is no way for you to make truma through a neder. What does that mean? It means that when you decide that something is truma, you are only defining which part of the pre is the truma. The Torah created also the truma, and that's innate in its status of tevel. So there what you're doing is defining, not creating. Masha Inkin, when you make a carbon, even though the state of what is a carbon in terms of Isser is defined by the Torah, but you are creating the carbon that then takes on that state. You see the difference? So Hatpasa can only be in something where you actually not simply define which, but create. And then the Torah defines what the meaning of your creation is. Because of that, you can even move that onto a piece of watermelon. Now, this is the reason that we have a concept of mi'ila bekorbanot, meaning the konamot, which I'll discuss in a moment what konamot mean. But that means if you say that the watermelon is hegdish, then basically, does that mean, if you would literally say it's hegdish, then somebody who used that watermelon would be over on me'ila, and he would have to pay hegdish, and he'd have to bring a carbon me'ila, and so on. But you're not saying that the watermelon is hegdish. You're saying it should have the same dinim of iser as hegdish has when you're saying it should be the same as a carbon. Does that include me'ila? Can you imagine that even that is a question that we're going to entertain later on? And that is called Yesh Mi'ila Bekonamot, which Gavi is writing down now. Hat Pasai wrote down Yesh Mi'ila Bekonamot, or just Mi'ila Bekonamot. It's Machlokas, whether there is Mi'ila Bekonamot. So that's the basic idea of Hat Pasai. Now, according to the Rush, the only way to make a net is through Hat Pasai. If you simply say this watermelon is usur, what makes it usur? You can't arbitrarily create Isurim. You would have to say this watermelon is like a carbon. However, we will see that there is an extension of the nature of language, which is bepashtus, the way that we usually view language when we're talking about Vayikra Adam Shemot, and that's the Bokar, remember, for the interrelationship of Neder and Nashim. There it means that Kol Asher Yikra Lo Adam, that he became Shmo. which means that that language was definitive language. And it's talking about Lashon HaKodesh, first of all. And it means that it's an absolute language, not something that just happened to have evolved and not just something that people have agreed upon to use as a word. So that would mean, Bepashtus, that if the Torah is giving us a din in language, just as in many places that would be limited to Lashon HaKodesh and to some level of an absolute, then you would think that that would be the case of a neder. However, it is not the case of a neder. And as we're going to see, there is also a concept of kinui. And that is a machlokas later on. How far does the concept of kinui extend? And there are different levels of this. Other languages are, as the Rishonim point out, as the Gemara is going to discuss, are basically evolutionary things that ultimately a society agrees upon without even knowing that they're agreeing upon it, and that's etymologies. So those type of etymologies are also considered to be a language. That's level one. Level two, how about bastardized etymologies? So let's say a word is imported from Lashon HaKodesh, you know, and the Goyim are always using that word. They always misuse the word a little bit and they mispronounce it, you know. So if something is a Mishigas, it's slightly different. You'll never confuse him with a Yiddish speaker, right? And if he's a Shlumiel, you'll never relate that to Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, right? Okay, so those are bastardized terminologies. When the Goyim import the word
Korban, copacetic.
Yes, that's one of the, that's assuming that that's the correct etymology. It's one of the most incredible Kinuyim because nobody has any idea what copacetic means, which is what means everything is A-OK, but it developed during the Second World War. Nobody has any idea where it comes from. And the closest that anyone has come is that there were Jews that were saying copacetic and that became copacetic and that became everything is A-OK, which is wild. But anyway, that's a perfect example of a bastardized kinui. So if the Goyim took the word korban, and it became all kinds of weird things, korban, konach, konam, whatever, the Gemara is going to list all kinds of weird ways. That is another understanding of kinui. Then the furthest expression of the din of kinui is Reish Lakish, as we're going to see later on. Reish Lakish says that kinuyim are not even languages. They are artificial languages. And who created the artificial languages? The Chachomim. Why would they do such a thing? Because since Hatpasa involves use of the Shem Hashem, because the way the Torah talks about Korban, Idor, Korban LaHashem. So we're, and it uses the Shem Hashem. So we're afraid that people will use the Shem Hashem without reference and without reference. And because of that, we say, if you want to make a neder, better not to use the word korban, because then you might use the word Lashem right away, even without korban, according to some. And because of that, we give you special words that mean korban, but that are not going to lead you accidentally in language terms to go ahead and to use the Shem Hashem. So that would be another meaning of kinuyim. We're going to be discussing the different levels of kinuyim as we go. But that is a chiddush. Now, there's another issue. That other issue is something that we find in the Torah proper. As a matter of fact, we just had it in the Parshas HaShavua. Remember, Rashi talks about the idea of Mikra Kotzer. Mikra Kotzer, where a word is left out, and your brain supplies the meaning of that word. So, the Kol Hore Kain, or things like that, where I'm just supplying an end to it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said what the end is. So it's sort of just magzim. Is that language? Now, it certainly is communication, because the brain fills in the missing data and your intent is clear. Is it language? That's the question. That phenomena is given a particular name in Masechet Nedarim, and it's called Yad, Yadot. Why is it called Yadot? Because when you can pick up something with a handle, and this is why in English, a handle became a name. Exactly. So when you use a handle and people understand that that means the full name of the thing, then you're picking up an entire concept by using a handle for it. As a matter of fact, I think YouTube just introduced handles. That was in honor of Masechet Nedarim. I don't know if you got your particular YouTube announcement that they're offering you a handle. That was for Masechet Nedarim. So now, if you, it's a wild, wild world out there. So a handle would mean that there is sufficient language here that we view it as if you actually said it. We're going to be talking about that in the Mishnah as well. So even if you don't even use the word carbon, and you don't even use a kinui for a carbon, your intention of, you lousy, no good mamzer, if I ever eat with you anything, yeah. Well, obviously, I mean to say it should be like a carbon. I mean, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But, well, why don't you say what you mean? I am saying what I mean. Is it stupid? That's a yad. Right? Okay, so we're going to have those cases in the Mishnah. So, as I said, it's a machlokas rishonim here, right here on the daf, starting off our Masechet, between the Ran and the Rush. Why the Ran all of a sudden? Now, this is a big question. And the reason why the Ran is because, unfortunately, the Rashi that we have is very clearly not the Pirush of Rashi. And when it's quoted all over the place, it's quoted as the Mefaresh. And when we do have quotes from the various Rishonim of Rashi on Nedarim, it never appears in the Pirush that's called Rashi in our Masechet Nedarim. So because of that, we do not have a reliable Pirush of Rashi on Masechet Nedarim, and the Ran has taken its place. And because of that, most of the simple Pshatim in the Gemara go according to the Ran. However, because of that, the Rosh and Tosfos also have a more prominent place in Pshat than they usually have. And therefore, I mention here that there's a big machlokas, the Rosh and the Ran, about what defines an Iker Neder. So as we've explained, the interrelationship between the two parashot of Nedarim most likely point to the Rosh. And that means that in the same way that there are two totally different on the surface unrelated parashos, they are not unrelated. And Nidrei Hegdesh is the basis of Nidrei Isser. And if you would just say Usser, that is not enough to make a Neder. You do not have the power to make something Usser. You only have the power to be Matpisit to something which the Torah has made Usser through your Nidrei Hegdesh. And that would be either gifts to the Berech HaBayis or a Korban to the Mizbeach, or making charamim, because charamim is another way of giving something to the Berech HaBayis, even though there are charamim to the Kohanim, but there are charamim to the Berech HaBayis, and those things are like making a korban. So that would put the basic idea of neder as requiring hatpasah, in which case, even if I said the word usser, it wouldn't be usser only if I hold it's a yad. Well, you're saying it's usser. But what you really mean is it's usser kekarban. Aha. So therefore, according to the Ran, you have the ability to create isser, not only throughout Pasat. According to the Rush, and the way we've analyzed the Psukim, the Dorim are always fundamentally hat Pasat. And even where you would use the word isser, it's only usser because it's a yad to a hat Pasat. This is usser, which I hear in my brain as if it were a korban. Now, there may be a machlokas about whether you really think that after I suffered a migraine yesterday, I'm going to drink that coffee. Absolutely not. Thank heavens, right on top of you, there are much more reasonable individuals who are offering something much more valuable. Thank you.
I didn't want to be coffee, Tova.
And of course, Zoom always knows who to put on top. So what we have, therefore, is kinuye nedarim, and they could be charamim. So let's take a look at the opening word to the Mishnah. Ko kinuye nedarim ki nedarim, v'charamim ki charamim. Now that is weird, because when we talk about kinuye nedarim, what we're talking about is using words for a carbon for hatpasa, right? So therefore, charamim are just another type of hatpasa. So what the heck are we talking about? Kinuye charamim ke charamim? That's insane. Ko kinuye nedarim ke nedarim include the kinuyim of charamim, do they not? It's because of that that some of the Rishonim understand kinuye charamim ke charamim to be referring to Nidrei Hekdesh. And that if I want to make something a cherem, I can use a kinuy for that cherem. But it's not just giving us alternative kinuyim for nedarim. Now, I must admit that even though that makes a heck of a lot more sense, 99% of the mafarshim don't say it. And they say that the pshat is that ko kinuy nedarim ki nedarim is, as we'll see later on, a reference to karban, hatpasada karban. So it's like words like konim, konach, and so on. And kokinu yicharamim kicharamim is also in reference to the status of the Isra of Hekdesh. And it means words like cherem instead of cherem, cherek, cherets, whatever, the same type of thing. But it's not all that persuasive, guys. What can I tell you? Okay. But you can see the way in which the Mishnah bears all of these multiple understandings. And shvuot kishvuot. When you want to make a shvuah, you can utilize also a kinuy. Instead of saying shvu'ah, you can say shvuka, shvuta, whatever these kinuyim are. Again, depending on the machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, is it loshen nochrim? Is it bastardized loshen nochrim? Or is it actually loshen shebadu lehem chachamim, which Gavi will now write down, loshen shebadu lehem chachamim, based on the pasuk, achoda shebada milibo. And that is a language that was made up by the Chachamim Liot Nodrimbo in order to avoid a connotation of using the Shem, or a possible actual use of the Shem Hashem. Now, this leads us immediately to understanding what is the difference between a Neder and a Shvuah. Now, these two parshias, even though they are linked in terms of the parsha in Matos and in some of their dinim, as we're going to see, are very, very different. And shvuas is actually something that defines your relationship of yourself. Remember that the neder, being in the context of language and woman, represents by definition intercourse. Intercourse, obviously, is not necessarily sexual. Intercourse is the way that we communicate. So in all business intercourse, what do we use? Email, language. So that's because the basis of the Adam's connection to the external reality of the universe is Kriyat Shemot and women. Remember that the only tool that we have for connecting to the outside universe in any way that enters our consciousness is love and intimacy. We're not given psychosexual tools other than that. It's because of that, that language is so much part of intimacy in terms of poetry and communication. So we understand that intimacy includes that concept of poetry
and
communication.
Ritzui.
Yeah, that's what Ritzui is. Fine. So if that's the case, I don't think you were here for the introduction, but you missed very important in Yanim, as usual. So the idea over here, you know, I won't mention the Gemara of Gam Tfilato Toiva, but we'll see if it would apply to people who are leave behind Koshva Divrei Torah and are never able to get them. Fine, but maybe because...
No, I haven't davened yet. Don't be choshen me, please.
I see. It's even worse than I thought you mean. Now, when it comes to the neder, because of that, this is one of the primary differences between a neder and a shvuah. All of this is nogea today's Gemara, which is why I'm allowing myself to take up all of this time in presenting it. A neder is an impact that you have on a relationship to an object in the universe. Another thing, not you. Shvuah has to do only with you personally. So you can make a neder and assert something in the universe as long as you own it and have certain rights over it, you can asser it to someone else. How can you do that? You can make the other person who drinks Barnea's coffee, Barnea could do this anyway, you could make him be chayev for drinking that coffee as if it were a carbon. How can you do that? So what you are doing over there is you are impacting things outside of you. When it comes to a shvua, you are talking about yourself and your perceptions. And it's because of that that we have the craziest situation, which I'm sure you've all noticed. You can make a shvua as to the veracity of something, and you can make a shvua which is the iser of something. And these two things are considered to be the same thing, one in the past and one in the future. What? Yes. We're going to see that a shvua, I did not eat that piece of bread, is exactly as the same as a shvua of, I will not eat that piece of bread. What? They have nothing to do with each other. One has to do with an event, and one has to do with the creation of an iser, which is similar to a neder, is it not? And that's the key. It is not. It has to do, a shvua, with your sense of reality. And therefore, what you're really saying is, this is what I believe happened. And this is what I believe should be happening for me. It cannot impact anybody else. A neder, on the other hand, is not talking about you. It's talking about an object. So therefore, if you make a piece of bread usher, it's the bread that becomes usher, not you who becomes usher to eat the bread. But when you make a shvua not to eat bread, it's you who are usher, not the bread. And this makes tremendous differences that we're going to see in terms of iser halal iser, in terms of whether you can, when it comes to a neder, you can make a neder that a sukkah is usher to you. Why? The sukkah is an object. But how are you going to be mekayim the mitzvah sukkah? You're not. Well, what do you mean? The Torah said I have to. Well, what are you supposed to do? You can't be going into a sukkah because you're going to be nenef from the sukkah. Masha Einkein, if you make a shvua not to sit in a sukkah, it's ridiculous. How can you make a shvua not to make sit in a sukkah if you already made a shvua before that that you're keeping the mitzvahs on Har Sinai? You see? So there's two totally different ways of looking at reality. And even though these two are linked in terms of heter nedarim, heter shvuas, and the issue of ben av lebito and ben ish leishto, they work in totally different ways of interacting with reality. That's why this is such a tremendously important masechet. It gives you the keys to impact upon reality and interacting with reality and the differences between them. You can only imagine the type of yesodes that come out of such a fundamental misachat.
Rabbi, how do we see it expressed in the lashon of neder or shvua?
We will see it. We say a neder, it's kikar ze alai hegdash, or kikar zu alecha hegdash. It's a reference to the kikar. When it comes to a shvua, it's ochal kikar ze, lo ochal kikar ze. It's about you.
No, but I'm saying in the actual word,
we won't talk about yet. So this difference between what Gavi is about to write, the iser between an iser chevta, chet peit tzadi aleph, is where it's an object that becomes usser, and an iser gavra, gimel veiz reish aleph, is where the individual is the one who is carrying the iser. So those are the differences between the shvuas as well. Nizirut ki nizirut, and nizirut is included here as well because it says ki yidar neder nazir lahazir. So obviously the Torah is giving you the ability to create a state in yourself of certain isurim, which is now defined by the Torah through a neder. Strange kind of situation, which we'll discuss in the next masechet, which is part of our understanding of Noshim. So, for instance, says the Gemara, Ha'omer l'chaveiro mudrani mimcha, mufrashani mimcha, meruchakani mimcha. So if you say to someone, look, I've got a neder away from you, I am separated from you, I am far away from you, which doesn't mean a darn thing, because it could mean I won't do business with you. It means I'd never get into a car that you're driving. That means I won't share any drinks with you if Barnea offers you coffee or stuff like that. And therefore, it doesn't really have meaning until it is more defined. And how do you more define it? By adding one of the following definers. This is the way the Gemara is going to end up understanding the Mishnah. Followed by, so in other words, pick one of these three beginnings, and now pick one of these two phrases to continue. Mudrani mimcha shani ochelecha, or mufreshani mimcha shani ochelecha. In other words, you're defining my richuk from you, my distancing from you, is in terms of what I would be eating, or shani to'im lecha, what I would even taste. So add one of those endings to any of those beginnings, and then you can imagine your own, and they would all be defined words. But something else is wrong. That what? You never mentioned a neder. You never mentioned a korban. You never mentioned an iser. Aha. That means that what we're talking about over here is the concept of yadais. Yadais, as we spoke about before, these are acting as handles where the main point is missing. So that means we have three levels. What we're talking about over here is A, unclear language. That's not even the language of an editor. Clarification of the language, and then utilizing the unclear language with the clarifying phrase to add something that you never even said, which is the yad, the word kikonam, or kicherem, or whatever it is. But it's clear to your brain that this person is trying to communicate that it is usur, the connection to you. And therefore, we're actually illustrating the various stages. But wait, the problem is, we're taking for granted that there's a concept called yad, which we didn't even mention. And not only that, we did mention kinuyin, but we didn't talk about the kinuyin. What happened to the kinuyin? Because of the fact that we started with yad, we can't mention the kinui because the yad means that we don't even talk about what it is. What a crazy way to make a Mishnah. You start off defining or claiming that you're going to define kol kinui in Nedarim. You don't even bother mentioning that the real point of the Mishnah is to define yadais Nedarim. And then because you define the yadais Nedarim at the end, which you never even mentioned, you cannot define your kinuyim. Oh my God. All of this obviously is going to entertain us today in the Gemara. Okay. But now we've got at least a fine sense of what we're getting ourselves into. So let's just go through that again. Kokinui nedarim kinedarim, v'charamim kecharamim, v'shvuot kishvuot, v'nezirot kinezirot. And then, as a complete non sequitur, ha'omer l'chavero mudrani mimcha, mufreshani mimcha, meruchakani mimcha, assuming that he adds a phrase that makes it clear what it is he's talking about, namely, Shani Ochalach, Shani Toyamlach, then he's Osir. Now, some have the gear says we're going to see She'eni Ochalach, that I will not eat from you. But of course, both languages make perfectly good sense. Shani Ochalach means that which I would eat from you is Mudrani Mimcha, and so on. And She'eni Mudrani Mimcha, that I should ever eat by you, you bum. It should be that I will not eat from you. So both Lashonos work with the assumption that neder is somewhere mentioned subconsciously in the communication. How about a word like minude anilecha? Now, minude lecha is weird because there is a concept of nidui. And what you could do is, I mean, you could try to put someone in nidui. If someone insulted a Talmud Chacham, you put him into nidui. So the Lashon of minude animimcha, it's not clear that that is even a lotion of nidarim at all, because it's referring to a different type of interrelationship. And nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva haya chochech bezeh lahachmir. What does chochech mean? It means sort of to rub. So some say he would be scratching his head. Well, sort of. Others say chochech means when you purse your lips together. That's okay. But it means that the person who asks the shaila to the Rav, and all he does is go, He gets the idea, he better not do that. So in other words, according to this, Rabbi Akiva was being machmir on this Shaila of Menuda Ani, which would then, of course, be followed by She'eni Ochel also. But the question is it even good enough as an opening phrase? That's why I say that we've really got three different issues here. We've got the clarifying phrases, but it needs to be a valid opening phrase in order for the clarifying phrase to be seen as part of the structure of a neder. And then it has to be expanded utilizing yadot into the word iser or kekona, you see? So the Mishnah is actually doing quite a bit here between the lines that is going to take us some time to realize. So now we're ready to start the Gemara. Kol kinuyei nidarim kinidarim. Now, this is very interesting, says the Gemara, because we have really the same structure of the Mishnah when we talk about Nazir. We start with Sechet Nazir the same way. Kol kinuyei naziras kinaziras. The thing is that over there we don't say, unidarim kinidarim, ushvuas kishvuas, ucharomim kicharomim. Like, wait, how come over here by nidarim we do that and we don't do the same thing by naziras? Mashna gabi nazir. Delokatani lulukulu, it doesn't talk about all the kinuyim, umayshnagabi nadorim, that it does talk about four different objects of kinuyim. Well, look, neder and shvua are basically put together in the Torah. Ish ki yidor neder la'ashem, oh ishava shvua la'ashem, and so on, right? So that means the Torah views neder and shvua as being related. So we can't say one without the other. So because of that, anyway, we're going to have to say neder and shvua. So tani taratin. But once we said two of the dinim, kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim, ushvuas kishvuas, so therefore we already throw in the others where we have a din of kinuyim, which is haramim, and which is the case also of the zeros. Well, but if that's the case, then shouldn't the correct order be kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim v'shvuas kishvuas? I mean, why do we talk about kol kinuyei nedarim v'charamim kecharamim v'shvuas? What's going on over here? If the whole reason that you bothered mentioning it in the first place was only because of the fact that they're put together, so keep them together. Ish ki yidor neder or yishava shavua, right? No, not necessarily. First, we make a decision about what we're going to include in the Mishnah. And we're including it all in the Mishnah. And then we make the decision about the correct order of the Mishnah. So, once we mention the Dorim, the Mitzah Heftza Ale, here we go. This is why we needed to define this right up front. When you're talking about Nedarim, remember the object becomes usher to you. When you're talking about Shavuos, you're talking about you become usher on this object. So once we start talking about Nedarim, it doesn't make sense to flip to Shavuos, which is a completely different concept. So I didn't turn in Nedarim the Mitzah Heftza Ale, turn in Ami Haramim the Mitzah Heftza Ale. By saying something is a Cherem to the Berak HaBayit, that something becomes Osir to you. It's not that you become Osir to it. La Fuke Shvua, the Osir Navshe Min Heftza. Where over there, you are Osiring yourself from utilizing a particular object. Okay, I got another problem with our Mishnah. What the heck? You started off claiming that you're going to be talking about kinuyim. Potach b'kinuyim, kol kinuyei nedarim, and I'm expecting to hear what kinuyim are. And then you bring me this case about openings and match up opening 1, 2, 3 with completion phrase 1 or 2. And then it's usher because of a whole new concept called yodais. What? And then you go and you refarish yodais. You say, and he never says anything about Isser. Not to mention the fact, for God's sakes, I mean, at least mention, tell us that you're going to be talking about Yodas. You seem to have forgotten even what you're coming to teach. The two, Yadot Inche? Have you forgotten completely to mention Yadot? No. Obviously not. The Mishnah is indeed focusing on Yadot, and it is Ayre Bahon. However, it is an example of a Mishnah that is a chisurei mechasra. V'hochi katan. Now, the truth is that this is our first example of the idea, as the Rosh says, and other Rishonim points out, Lishna de Nedarim Mishuneh. Mesechet Nedarim is weird. And the question is, why is Masechet Nedarim weird? When I say this is our first example, is because Inchi is not the way that we would normally ask a question like this. We would normally say, Bandor Hashmei. Yodes Bandor Hashmei. Whoever read Inchi? It sounds like some Arabic, you know? Inchi, why is it now you forgot this completely? So here, as the Mefarshim explained, something is weird about Nedarim. Now, the question is, why is Nedarim weird? So there are various approaches as to why Nedarim is weird. The Mashma'ut, based on the history of Nedarim from the Ge'enim, we spoke about this last time that we learned Nedarim at length, is that something went wrong with Nedarim because of the fact that they would not learn Maseches Nedarim in Bava. The reason they didn't learn Maseches Nedarim in Bava was because of governmental problems in which the idea of Heter Nedarim was viewed as a way to attack Jews as being unreliable liars. And therefore, since for a guy, you put your hand on the Bible and you make the, and these Jews have figured out a way to be Matir Nedarim, and they've got all of these, well, you know, when it comes to taxes, you're allowed to make a neder, which we're all going to see, and it's all lies and everything. So in Bavel, they stopped doing Heter Nedarim. And in order to avoid the implications that they're teaching their students about how it is to, yes, as Gershi points out, exactly, this started with Nebuchadnezzar. So it has a very primal basis. Beautiful, beautiful, Gershi. That was good for the whole Taina of Nebuchadnezzar. Look at this lousy Jew, this Sitkio. He makes me promises, and then he goes ahead and he's, like the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about that. This is the type of person I want representing me anyway. So because of that, they stopped teaching Nedarim. Now, since they stopped teaching Nedarim in Bavel, that means that the Misera of Maseches Nedarim is essentially a Ma'arava, an Eretz Yisrael Misera, and therefore the language of it takes on other qualities that are not normally found in the Bavli. The problem is, it is not Yerushalmi either. So this explanation, who knows? But anyway, that is one of the most popular explanations. There's another one of the wild explanations of, this is of the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael creates a lot of these ideas, and because of that, a lot of people were very angry at the Tiferes Yisrael. But anyway, one of the ideas of the Tiferes Yisrael is that there were two separate periods in which Rav Ashi finished up the Gemaras, and he did a revision in which he clarified, he did a re-editing in which the language was sort of unified so that we feel comfortable in all of the Masechtas. And those Masechtas that we definitely do not feel comfortable with, Rav Ashi never did his second editing. So that would include things like Shkolim and like Mi'ila and Tmura, all the weird Masechtas where we have all of these different Girsaot and so on, which, by the way, is a big problem in the Dorim, where we also have a lot of different Girsaot, as we're going to see. And that because of that, it's a Lishna that is Mishuna. Okay, but in any event, do not be surprised at a certain sense of weirdness and different type of language that's used. Okay, so the Tana did not forget Yodais. It's actually in the Mishnah, but it's invisible in the Mishnah, because this is a Mishnah that's Chisurei Mechasra. And since any idiot who learns the Mishnah starts saying, what? This is a completely different concept. Indeed it is. Stick it into the Mishnah. And that's what the Mishnah should have said. Ko kinui nedarim kinedarim v'yodais nedarim kinedarim. But I don't understand. So if you start off with kinuyim, don't you think you should have first defined what you meant by kinuyim before throwing these yodais at us in the first piece of the Mishnah? No, I don't. Ahud esolik b'nei ahum efarish bereisha. The last thing mentioned is first things explained. Here I'll show you. Bameh madlikin ubamayin madlikin. Ein la madlikin lo. How come you started with ein madlikin? Why don't you start with bameh madlikin? Why ain't tomnim? You should have started with Bama Kain Tomnim. Bama Isha Yotza Bama Ina Yotza Lotetsa Isha. See, So we start explaining the last thing mentioned. Well, wait a minute. That certainly is not the general rule. I mean, you're telling me that kol echad d'patach lo mefarish bereisha? We don't start explaining what we started mentioning? Want me to show you that we do? What about these mishnayos? Otan, yesh nochalin u'manchilin, nochalin v'lo manchilin, ve'elu nochalin u'manchilin. Ha-ha! So we started explaining, first mentioned, first explained. Yesh mutarot l'baleyem v'asurot l'yibneyem, mutarot l'yibneyem v'asurot l'yibneyem, ve'elu mutarot l'baleyem v'asurot l'baleyem. See? First mentioned, first explained. Yesh tu'unot shemen v'levayna, shemen v'loy levayna, ve'elu tu'unot shemen v'levayna. See? Yesh tu'unot hagasha, ve'en tu'unot tenufa. Tenufa v'lo hagasha. What do we start explaining? Elu tu no tagasha. Another example. I mean, I'm going to overwhelm you. Yesh b'chor l'nachala ve'eno b'chor l'kohen. B'chor l'kohen ve'en b'chor l'nachala. Ve'ezu b'chor l'nachala ve'en b'chor l'kohen. First mentioned, first explained. So what are you telling me, man? Come on. You know the answer. Every one of the five examples that you brought is a whole long, like we just had. Yesh mutarot b'alayam v'asrat b'yabim. Yesh asurot limeyem mutarot lebalayim. Yesh asurot lezevel lezeh. Yesh mutarot lezeh. I mean, come on, that's a whole long list. Every one of the five examples that you brought is a whole long list. So there, if we're going to start explaining the last thing mentioned, what are we supposed to do? Now go backwards and work our way back? I mean, I've lost track of going back and I have five different things to explain. So in all of those cases, it makes perfectly good sense that we start explaining from top down. But we only have two things. It makes a lot of sense to say, all right, we're talking about this. Let me explain this. And now I'll move back to the thing that's right before. It's such an obvious difference. I mean, man, halin mishum da'avshuay. There's so many different clauses. So mefarishu the pasuk bereishis. So of course, you're going to explain the one that you started with so you don't have to get confused. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? What about the bameh behema yotzah? Ubama eina yotzah? Ha, 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 ha. That one doesn't have a lot of clauses, just two clauses. Yudulo afsha, and it starts explaining the camel can go out. How come you did that? Yotse gamal. So that means even where there's only two things, we also certainly, I mean, I bring you at least one example. I know, all right, not all five, but one example is the same as over here. And we started explaining what it was that we started with, not what we finished with. All right. Ella loved Afka. So basically, it's not important, you know. Zimni mefarish ahud patach bereisha v'zimni ahud salak mefarish bereisha. It's something that the Tana does. This is the way Ron understands it. It's something that the Tana specifically does sometimes some way, sometimes the other way, gufa, to teach us that even though we have this very important yesod, vayivchar lashon erumim, like we spoke about in Psachim, we have to always be very careful the way that we express ourselves. Gufa, the Tana varies this to say that this is not included in Lashon Erumim, and there may be other issues that you'd want to mention this because you feel like it. Or maybe not. Maybe, in fact, it is important the way that we structured it here, and there was a good reason for doing the Yadot first before the Kinuyim. And it isn't just arbitrary. And maybe our Tana did Yadot first, because Aide de Atyan Midrasha, since I need to learn out of a pasuk that even incomplete language can serve as communication and therefore also as a neder, and we're going to see later on where we learned that from. So when it comes to Kinuyim, which over there, it's a general understanding of the nature of language, and other languages, and Lashon, maybe even Shabbat HaChomim, which we'll discuss in a moment, that is obvious. But things that are less obvious, remember, are more chaviv. So we say, Aydadas in Midrasha chaviv alei. And therefore, the first thing that we'd like to explain are the things that are less obvious. And therefore, we specifically did this approach. Okay, we will continue and examine what other possibilities in the Mishnah may explain the order of the Mishnah tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, but we have a lot of basic concepts over here. Please review them and take the time to go over, see how it fits into the Mishnah, because once the beginning will be clear and the concepts will be clear, a weird Masecha will start losing its weirdness and will start feeling right at home in the intimacies of Nedarim.